May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Blessed are the poor. Most of us don't like the sound of that. We certainly don't want to think of ourselves as poor, as lacking anything. Certainly not like those people. You know, the ones who are really poor. Many of us have heard the Beatitudes often enough and prefer Jesus' sayings from Matthew's gospel instead of this one in Luke. At least Matthew spiritualizes it by claiming blessings for the poor in spirit, but not Luke. Blessed are the poor, our Lord says in Luke. Why is it that we immediately are brought to dualistic thinking by this text? Why do we, you think, immediately, as a friend has said recently, try to identify where we fall on Jesus' spectrum of blessings and woes? We try so hard to identify whether or not we are blessed or cursed. And beyond that, what does our blessings or woeful state have to do with our interpersonal relationships and how we treat each other? Blessed are the poor, says Jesus, because the possession of the kingdom of God, another way of saying the knowledge of the presence of God, another way of saying the true experience of God, is only known in poverty. Woe to you who are rich, says Jesus, because when you're full of yourself in every way you can think of, you have no need of God. You are a God of your own making. And what you've got is all you're ever gonna get. This very fitting gospel provides an opportunity to remind us of our true identity. And what better way, what better time to know who we really are, except when we celebrate the ones who have gone before us and the ones coming after us, and the little ones about to be baptized this morning. Who are we really? We are the church, God's family, a people of light and love and salt. We are one. And as we baptize our children this morning, we are baptizing them into a oneness that is not of our creation. It is a oneness that is God's creation, a oneness that is of God, a oneness that is God, don't you know? You can see by this that we just have to move beyond the dualistic mind to get there. The oneness is God. The oneness is of God. Today we celebrate the saints of the church who are known to us and those who are known only to God, because you see, they are a part of that oneness. And this family of God is way bigger than any of us could ever imagine. We celebrate the great common union that began in God, a common union that is God and has been reclaimed and restored in Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, As much as we are told to identify ourselves as Americans, or white, or black, or brown, or educated, uneducated, blue collar, white collar, homed, homeless, we are above all children of the Most High God, and brothers and sisters of Jesus the Christ first. If you are baptized into the death of Jesus, that is your first allegiance. And we don't wait for that when we're on our deathbeds. We don't wait for that when we know we're going to meet our Maker. We begin to live out of our baptismal covenant right now. Every moment that our heart beats and we can breathe on our own, God has given out mercy. God has given us God's mercy so that we can be like Christ. And when we began to operate out of this new paradigm, that everybody belongs to everybody else, we can begin to reinterpret Luke's gospel in a way that speaks to all of us, not just the rich or the poor or the educated or the uneducated, the Americans or the Arabians or the Syrians or the Mexicans, but rather out of our human identity that is now existing only in the risen Christ. God is not interested in what country we happen to have been born in. He has placed us here. This is gift. Life is gift. And by God's grace, you weren't born in Syria. By God's grace, I wasn't born in Jalisco, Mexico, like friends of mine. It's all grace. Our identity is in Christ. The Bible says that there will come a point in time where God is all and God will be it all. Hear then how this gospel sounds without our typical dualistic framework. Hear how it sounds in this version from The Message by the late Reverend Eugene Peterson. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely, because joy comes in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like. For even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you've made it. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're gonna meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. To you who are ready for truth, I say this: love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. To you who are ready for the truth, here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and go out and do it for them. My sisters and brothers in Christ, hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen.